Well, ladies, today we are on to lesson 5 in the book of Jonah, and I've titled this lesson, Time to Pray. Today we're going to be in Jonah chapter 2, the first 10 verses. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains I went down to the land, whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. From inside the fish, and please note, nowhere does it say a whale, just a big fish, Jonah prays. Probably a good time to pray, too. However, notice the tenor of his prayer. He isn't praying for rescue. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. Yep, you got that right. Jonah is thankful to God that he is inside a big, stinky, icky fish. In verse 1 of this prayer, Jonah says that out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, Jonah's not talking about the belly of the fish here. He's talking about being in the depths of the sea. When he was flung into the sea, he cried out to God to rescue him. So Jonah cried out, past tense, while in the sea, and now he is praying from inside the fish, this prayer of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. Remember, the fish wasn't the instrument of Jonah's destruction. It was the instrument of his salvation, provided to rescue him from the sea, not to destroy him. Jonah knew that his disobedience should have led to his death. He knows that God has shown great mercy on Jonah by allowing him to live. God sent a storm to stop Jonah's flight, a storm that could have been the end of Jonah and everyone else on the ship. God provided a way to save the people on the ship, through the sacrifice of Jonah to the sea. But God's mercy didn't stop there. Do you see that? Now God has rescued Jonah from dying on the boat. He's rescued the sailors from dying. And then God rescues Jonah too, sending the fish. Seriously, when Jonah was heading into the water, I can guarantee not one of the men who were there thought he was going to come out of the water alive. But God demonstrates his power in first causing the storm to set in, in second, causing the storm to cease, and in demonstrating his power in providing a fish to take Jonah for a ride. It sounds ridiculous. Jump into the churning waves if you want to live. But that is the God we serve. So Jonah is thanking God right now. He obviously didn't have a pen and ink inside the fish, so he obviously wrote this down after he was back out of the fish. But he remembered his prayer of thanksgiving, and he did record it. Jonah's eyes are opened, and he can see how God is moving in his life. He can see how God did save him through his forced entry into the water, how God is still saving him. Jonah also recognizes God's sovereignty here. He knows that he ended up in the water by God's purpose, even saying, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas." And at that point, Jonah fully expected to die in his disobedience. He says, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. He is acknowledging the separation he has caused between himself and God, yet he expresses confidence that he will stand before God again in heaven. And, knowing his own sinful heart, Jonah then expresses awe that, as he was thrown into the sea, God would hear his prayer and send rescue for him. Jonah knows who the true God is, not a worthless idol. And Jonah speaks here in terms of paying a vow that he's made. Now, we don't see that happening in this short little book, but we can guess that the vow that Jonah made was to carry out the work God had for him, and Jonah is declaring that what he has vowed, he will pay. Jonah's final comment here also reiterates that Jonah is beginning to really understand more of how God works. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation doesn't come from people. It doesn't come because I'm good enough or smart enough or my balance sheet leans more toward good than bad. Salvation only comes from God. Period. Jonah is about to learn this lesson even more clearly as he learns that God is also the one who decides who he will save. God chose to save the disobedient prophet. God chose over and over to save his rebellious, adulterous people, Israel. God can choose to save whomever he wants, including heathen cities. Now look at verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. God spoke to the fish. That might sound a little weird until we take a step back and realize that this is the same God who spoke the universe into existence. He's the same God who knows the names of every single star he has created. When we realize that, this whole speaking to the fish thing isn't so surprising. His very words have the power to create the universe. Directing a fish, that's not a big deal for him. God allowed Jonah to run, but stopped his flight with a storm. Why did he even allow Jonah to run? Why not stop him before that? Well, because this was the way that God had determined that he would be glorified. This whole episode with Jonah did not happen because God was powerless to stop Jonah from running. This whole episode, just like everything that happens in this world, happened so that God's glory might shine through. As soon as Jonah ran, the focus changes from Jonah's agenda to God's. We know that in Jonah's agenda, Nineveh is not anywhere on his radar, but it is on God's. God chose to do this in this manner so that we all might see not only his power and might, but also his mercy, even when we disobey. So my question today is simply this. Isn't it time for you to pray? Whatever you're facing today, don't wait until you're in the belly of a fish, no, not literally, before you pray to your Father. Call out to him today. Ask for his strength, because truly, it is only in his strength that you have any strength. Remember this encouragement from Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust him. He can see above the clouds even when we can't. God showered his mercy on Jonah here, and he showers it on us daily. There are times when he will ask us to do the equivalent of jumping into the sea. Remember, just because we can't see the way out doesn't mean he can't. If we are truly aligning ourselves with him, if we are doing his will even when it doesn't make sense, you'll find God there, and it will be to his glory, not to your own credit, because when it comes down to it, Jonah didn't ask the fish for a ride. God sent the fish to get Jonah. God does that today in our lives too, so that we might give all glory and honor to him. It literally is in our weakness that God is strong. It is when we allow God to work in our lives that he does work, and in ways we can't even fathom. Ladies, you can find the notes for this lesson under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com. Lesson 5, Time to Pray.